welcome, friends, to this edition of the Grace Hour. We're broadcasting live here from our studios, which are located at the home of the Greater Grace World Outreach in Baltimore, Maryland. And we want to welcome you to our Monday broadcast, friends, and a brand new week of broadcasting live right here on the Grace Hour. And I'm grateful to be back in the studio today, having been overseas during the International Convention, the Eurocon Convention, hosted by the church in Warsaw, Poland. And I'm sure that there are many of you that will be listening to us today and perhaps even calling and sharing or at least commenting online with how blessed you were by being at that conference. It was really a very special time, especially in light of all of the events that are taking place in that part of the world. And I do want to begin by saying thank you to so many of you that we met at the Eurocon convention in Warsaw, Poland. Many of you sharing with us that you listen to the Grace Hour on a regular basis. You tune in. It's a blessing to you, and you're encouraged when you listen to the broadcast. I can't tell you how much that means to all of us associated with the Grace Hour broadcast here in Baltimore, and we really appreciate that. It was an encouraging word and a reminder to us all that we need this broadcast, and we're going to continue this broadcast. And really, the broadcast is, well, it's part of your lives and your ministry, and it's just greatly appreciated. Well, we're beginning a brand new week of broadcasting here live from Baltimore, and we've got a theme where we'll be investigating and looking at the Psalms throughout this week. And, you know, there are so many beautiful psalms and beautiful portions written by those who authored those psalms. And we're going to be touching on those both in today's broadcast and throughout the week, because those psalms, they really exemplify everything that we go through in our lives as believers. The good times, the blessings, the ups, the downs, the challenges, the afflictions, the rejection, the misunderstanding. We could, again, use a whole host of adjectives that describe everything that we go through in life. But yet, our answers to some of these challenges that we face in our lives as believers is found in the book of Psalms. In fact, I would be greatly surprised if any believer hasn't found great comfort, great assurance, great hope in the book of Psalms. And again, that's going to be our theme throughout this week on our broadcast. We want to remind you that following the devotional portion that we'll be sharing today, we will open the phone lines. You can join us. Here are the telephone numbers. Toll free is 800-338-7060. And the local number is 410-483-3700. And you can join us with your comments, your questions, testimonies. And we especially would like to ask those of you that were joining us at Eurocon, if you could give us a call and perhaps share a testimony of how your life was touched and the message that spoke to your heart. And again, encourage the body of Christ worldwide by your phone calls, if that, of course, is possible. If you can't, well, reach out to us on Facebook Live, YouTube Live, share your comments with us that way. That would be a blessing as well. I want to welcome everybody listening live on the internet at gracehour.org. And of course, now you realize, friends, you can both reach us on Facebook Live, YouTube Live, but also on these other platforms, Apple, Spotify, Amazon Music, iHeart, and so many more. So again, we really appreciate that, and we hope to hear from many of you today when we open those phone lines. What a blessing that would be to us. So I'm going to hand it over to Pastor Shibeli because got in quite late last night. And I'm afraid that I might make more than a few mistakes here as the program begins on this Monday afternoon. But
I don't think you make mistakes. I think God allows some of us at times to say, to make what we think are mistakes, but they're actually allowed by God. And then
good.
Just I'm glad to hear it's that. Eternal.
I'm glad to hear that.
You got in late last night from where?
From Poland. From Poland.
Oh, that's right. All of you got in late last
night,
huh?
Yeah, I think everybody did. But I definitely wanted to be here today as we start a new week of broadcasting.
It's good. It's good for a number of people that get used to the rigorous travel of coming on at some time at night.
I'll tell you what, Pastor Shibeli, I don't know how you do it. That's all I can say.
You know what? It becomes, like, to be honest with you, I don't get in late. That's another thing, because I don't fly from New York ever. That's one thing. I fly from either BWI in and out or Washington Dulles, which is a simple like 50 minutes to an hour travel. So
my journey took me from Warsaw, Poland to Helsinki, Finland, from Helsinki, Finland to JFK in New York, from JFK in New York to BWI here in Baltimore.
No, that's a bit much.
It was rigorous.
Yeah, because we don't realize, like, you know, boarding, deplaning. It's just unbelievable. After a while, it can be exhausting, but you'll be fine.
Yes.
You'll be fine.
Amen. Amen.
Okay. We're talking about our subject for the week is the subject, the Psalms and how we feel. I don't know. That's kind of interesting. That's kind of an interesting subject.
Yes.
I don't know how I feel about that, you know, but.
Who cares how we feel?
Yeah. My feeling, how I feel, and I think it really speaking maybe of David's emotions, of his emotional responses throughout the book of Psalms. And by the way, it was there 150 Psalms there. And we can see that, you know, there was the sorrow and the joy and then the encouragement and all the things that took place in the book of Psalms. And I was thinking when I read that topic, I can either live by feelings. And some of them, I mean, obviously God wept over Jerusalem. So Jesus has feelings, you know. And there's God was grieved that he made man upon the face of the earth, you know. So it meant that it pained him, you know. So we believe without a doubt that feelings can certainly be understood from a eternal and godly perspective. Without a doubt, it's not just, sometimes we hear the word feeling and immediately we go to this idea that it's nothing but human emotion that's void of God, but that's not true, okay? Because Jesus wept over Jerusalem and Jesus was really concerned about Lazarus, and when he passed on, Jesus raised him from the dead, and we can see Jesus touched by children and when the others would try to shoo the children away, get rid of the children, he would say, suffer the little children to come unto me. And then you can see in the book of Hebrews, and this is a great portion of scripture. I was going to turn someplace else, but I'm going to turn there first. And in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 14, seeing then we have a great high priest that is passed unto the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. So we see the first part of that verse says, for we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. So Jesus can be touched. Jesus is touched by our feelings, our infirmities, our weaknesses. That's why he can bring strength to that weakness. He can bring joy to that sorrow. You know, he can bring faith to that unbelief. So he's touched. That means he's touched, and that means he's spiritually touched by that, not the touch of just the physical touch of the finger or the hand, but he is touched in his heart at these things. And so the Psalms really reveal to us many times how the Holy Spirit would touch the psalm writer, the writer of the Psalms, in many cases, King David, and that he would take him from feelings into, really, I was thinking today about an eternal perspective. And it's nothing wrong with temporal feelings at all, okay? And God can be the initiator of those, and God can be the source of those when they're in God. And yet we must always reflect and relate to that which is eternal. Sometimes you would go to maybe a very sad place when a loved one passes on. And you can see during the times that we would be attending, they would call them a wake or a burial time, that people would be really broken over the loss of a family member. And what is it? And how is it that I can really minister to people that are in that place of being touched with these feelings? It's really by bringing in something that's eternal. That, okay, I remember one time there was a woman who lost her husband. And all I could keep telling her was, and this was in Holyoke, Massachusetts, many years ago, all I could keep telling her was, regardless of what's taking place, I understand that, and I've sympathized with you, and we suffer with those who are going through that, but you're going to see him in eternity. That eternity will bring you back together. So I think I can have these emotional things that take place, these feelings that take place, but I must always bring them into captivity to the thoughts that are eternal. And that will kind of really balance off what can take place, because sometimes people can be totally overwhelmed by something that's taken place, and it starts off with a certain feeling. But I've seen people, I remember meeting a woman one time, and she was always in black all the time, in black clothing. And I said to her, like, I mean, this went on for like 7-8 years. And I said, like, you know, is that the only clothing that you have? I was trying to be sensitive to a situation. And she says, no, I'm in mourning. I said, really? When did your husband passed? She says, oh, 7 years ago. I'm like, wait a minute. I think this has gone a bit too far, you know, and do that creatively and sensitively. But we must bring in that which is eternal and have the eternal perspective in all of this versus just living in that which is taking place. I can imagine, and having worked in East Africa where there's been a lot of tragic things that have happened, and certainly that's in many different parts of the world, and we can see these things still going on. Am I going to be, I can be touched with a feeling. And the psalmist was touched with certain feelings, different emotions. But then I've got to have a mind that thinks in the eternal. Jesus said in Philippians, through the Apostle Paul, the Spirit said, Philippians 2:5, let this mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus. So I want to have God's mind in the midst of situations so that I can have godly emotions and godly feelings. But I'm not going to be overwhelmed when all of a sudden those feelings are nothing more than something that's natural from the human flesh. And it is really a feeling and it's a reality, but it is not really being touched with God and God's feelings. And how important that is. So relating to the eternal is something that will help me in these situations where my feelings take place. Psalm 62, I think it's there that that the writer says, David, when my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that's higher than I. Is that Psalm 62, 1 through 5, Pastor Love? I think it is. But when my heart is overwhelmed, my heart, it's overwhelming what has taken place. And sometimes we can see these things that are taking place, these events that occur on the earth, and we say, my goodness, this is unbelievable. And then we can find ourselves, feeling this and feeling that, and that might be okay. And then it might even be a godly feeling, but I'm not going to be overwhelmed by it where it consumes me, where I can't make decisive decisions in life that will have me have the certain perspective that which is absolutely eternal. It's eternal. So the eternal, and that is so key, thinking in the eternal, knowing that I am being a person who is responding to an eternal God who is my refuge and my strength, and underneath are his everlasting arms. He's going to carry me. So yes, feelings, how we feel, the Psalms and how we feel. And David would have these things take place, and there's absolutely nothing wrong with what's going on in his heart, in his life, in his emotions. But we know that overall he has a perspective of thinking with God in that which is eternal. And that person will be able to make adjustments to when these things happen and when they're occurring and when they have subsided, and then when they occur again, we go through our whole life, and we're going to see that. We're going to see, and if we really have hearts that are submitted to Jesus, and we have the heart of the new man, we're going to see events that take place. Whether it's somebody with a drug addiction, somebody that has an alcohol problem, somebody a situation in the marriage, a divorce, a separation, or whatever's going on, we're going to see people going through tests and trials. And if we have God's thinking, we will be touched with the feeling of their infirmities. We will be touched with that situation. Yet it will not be to a point where we are overwhelmed, because we have an eternal understanding and an eternal mindset with an eternal purpose in our lives. So that's what we're starting off with today. So Father, we pray that you would bless our time on the air and all those places that Pastor Love mentioned in the beginning, so many different people that are connecting to us in many different ways. We pray that you would be with us today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Well, you're listening live to the Grace Hour, friends, on this Monday afternoon, a Monday afternoon where we are on the East Coast of the United States. Of course, the time difference where you may be could be dramatically different, but we certainly do appreciate you joining us and being with us, and we're grateful that you're tuning into the Grace Hour today. You know, as you were speaking, Pastor Schiavelli, everywhere in the Psalms, we see this word appear and then reappear over and over again. I cried unto the Lord.
Yeah,
you
yeah.
know, I just opened my Bible to Psalm 39, and verse 12 says, "Hear my prayer, O Lord, give ear unto my cry. Hold not thy peace because of my tears." Psalm 40, he said, "I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined unto me and heard my cry." And then verse 2 of Psalm 40, it says, "He brought me up out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay." I mean, those are words that he's using to describe the condition of his soul. Those are emotions.
Yes.
Again, we see this over and over and over again. And you get to Psalm 42. He says, "My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. My tears have been my meat day and night. And while there are those who continually say unto me, 'Where is your God?'" And then he even says in verse 5, "Why are you cast down, O my soul? Why are you disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance." So over and over again in the Psalms, we see the psalmist crying out in his emotions, and expressing them perfectly so, as to say to God, "I need you. I'm in trouble. I need your help. I'm crying unto you."
And then you can see another turn in a direction, Psalm 16, verse 8, "I have set the Lord always before me, because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Therefore, my heart is glad, and my glory rejoices, and my flesh also shall rest in hope." Think about those words just in that verse alone. His heart is glad, his glory rejoices, and his flesh will rest in hope. So you can see the extreme feelings that were taking place in David's life. And in every person's life, we've got the joy and the gladness and the hope, and then we can see all the tragedy and the situations and the suffering and the pain, and we can identify with both. If somebody can just only identify with one aspect of that, then there's not a balanced Christianity there. But it's in both directions. It's in both directions. I mean, Jesus went to the tomb of Lazarus and he wept. I really believe he wept at their unbelief, not because of Lazarus, because he was going to raise him again. Why would he be weeping over him? He's going to raise him from the dead. I just think that, by the way, two times that it really says that Jesus wept in the Bible, it was both of them based on unbelief. Luke 19:41, he wept because they didn't believe the time of his visitation. And then he wept over Lazarus, you know, because they were just like, "Oh, if you had been here, my brother wouldn't have died." Or didn't he, why couldn't he have raised him from the dead, right? So his weeping was based upon their unbelief. Then I can have a lot of joy when I meet people that have faith. Huh? So
yeah, that portion in Hebrews chapter 4 where Christ is described as the one who is touched with the feeling of our infirmities, in all points tempted, tested, like as we are, yet without sin. I mean, that really says so much, because we need to know that there is a high priest, our great high priest, at the right hand of the Father in heaven, that understands all that we go through, that's interceding for us on a consistent, continual basis. Without knowing that, you know, I mean, that's why I think when Jesus looked at the multitudes, the Bible says he had compassion. He shared in their suffering because, well, that's why he came. He wanted to be able to say, I know, I can identify with you from the cradle all the way to the grave. I know what it's like to go to that funeral service when a loved one has died. I did it with Lazarus, right?
Yeah.
Jairus' daughter died, but she was brought back to life again. So he knows all of that, and that's just such a source of encouragement for us.
And I like how it says in that portion of Scripture, that I like the two T's there, touched and tempted, okay? Touched and tempted. And that's interesting. Temptation coming from the enemy, the temptation to sin. And yet Jesus never sinned, but it was the temptation was there. He was tempted in the wilderness by the devil in Matthew 4. So he's touched and tempted, and so are we. We are tempted, and it's important for us to understand touched and tempted. And I love that portion of Scripture. And he's not just the high priest, he's the great high priest. Jesus, the Son of God, you know, and he's sitting on the throne, and that's amazing. So is anybody out there? I was hoping that maybe I tried to connect with them earlier. We have a ministry that's gone out from here, that's gone to San Diego, Pastor Manny, Pastor Ronaldo,
a number of
others, Jesse Fires and whatnot. I was hoping they could maybe call and connect. If they're listening
on
any one
them.
Of their devices, give us a ring. Tell us what's going on out in San Diego as they are kind of scratching surfaces, doing a Numbers 13, kind of like, let's see what's there. Okay, let's go out and see what the possibilities are in San Diego. And I think they're meeting other people there, maybe the Chungs that are out there.
Pastor
I'm not
Tom,
so sure.
Natalia. We'd love to hear from you folks. And then how about those of you that were with us at Eurocon in Warsaw, Poland? Perhaps somebody from Warsaw, perhaps Pastor Maciek could give us a call, you know, giving us a synopsis of everything that transpired and happened during that great week at Eurocon. And Pastor Shabelli, I have to say that we had an opportunity, many at the conference had an opportunity to minister to these refugees that were fleeing the country of Ukraine. Thousands and thousands were coming through Warsaw, thousands and thousands coming through the southern border from Lviv into Krakow, Poland. So these refugees were everywhere. And, you know, the timing could not have been better as we found ourselves there and being able to minister to them. It was really remarkable.
All of it, just in the train stations or were they on the streets also? I mean, they were just
mostly in the train stations because they have fled their country. And, you know, the touching part of it all was all women and children, no men.
Really?
Yeah. Oh. All the men have had to stay behind and fight to defend their country.
Wow.
And so many of these women would say to us when we asked about their fathers or their husbands, they would say, they are patriots.
Wow.
They are patriots.
Yeah.
And I thought to myself, God bless the people of Ukraine, and may God really confound the enemy and really allow them to fight for victory. To preserve their country.
It maybe even really one of the Moore brothers, Pastor Chris Moore, Pastor Jason Moore, could call us because they lived and ministered in Ukraine for many, many years.
That's right.
We'd love to hear their perspective on what's going on there too. So give us a call. Call us. Maybe you can call us from the Ukraine. Who knows?
That's
there's still things, still possibilities of making phone calls. So from San Diego to the Ukraine. See, this is Grace Hour. It's worldwide.
Amen.
Worldwide.
You can join us at 800-338-7060. And the local number right here in the Baltimore area, you can dial 410-483-3700. Carol Massengill, she was first to join us on Facebook Live, and she says, welcome home. I'm listening. Carol, that's always a blessing to us to see your name appear on our screen. And Tess is back in Malmo, Sweden.
Was she there?
No, she wasn't there, but she was here in the Baltimore area for quite some time and was such a blessing to be able to see her. Now she's back home in Sweden. She says it's awesome to know that the Lord is the portion of our inheritance and the maintenance of our soul. Psalm 16, verse 5. Regards from Malmo, and good to see you again, pastors. Great to know that you're listening back online, Tess. It's a pleasure having you here visiting us. But for those of you that have not yet picked up that phone or sent us a note, a message, or asked a question, made a comment, a testimony, perhaps, really, again, we would love to hear some testimonies from those of you that were at Eurocon, and let us know, how was it that God touched your heart, and was there a difference made in your life? Was there a message that really deeply spoke to you? And perhaps contributed to, you know, bringing you in a direction that mm-hmm. you were hoping to go in. God showed up. God was faithful. He heard your prayer and answered that prayer. We would love to hear from those of you that were
We would
there.
Love to hear. We're going to say right now, contrary to what you might think, silence is not golden.
No. Not on the Grace Hour.
Not on the Grace Hour.
No. No. Silence is...
Silence is not golden. No, silence is something we don't...
It's terrible. We don't want it.
We don't want it.
We want to hear your voices.
We all just stood here silently. Imagine what kind of a program you'd have.
No.
We're not going to say another word for another 35 minutes. That would be interesting.
Well, yeah. But, I mean, we enjoy the fellowship between yes. ourselves here in the studio, but this program is for you, our listeners, and that's why the invitation is so consistent on our program to join us. And even those of you here in the Baltimore area, come on, pick up that phone, give us a call. We're excited to hear from you and about what God is doing in your life. You know, you mentioned earlier, Pastor Schiavelli, those words such as, you know, rejoicing, celebrating, being mm-hmm. glad, and then opposed to that, you have cast down, troubled,
yeah.
Pressed beyond measure. I mean, you can see that God understands the full gamut of human emotion. Somebody once said this, that when God made us and gave us emotions, he made us millionaires. We've got plenty of them.
Wow.
But it's true, isn't it? And, mm-hmm. and on any given day, we could be celebrating and rejoicing, and then other times we could be cast down. And thank God those casting down moments, those troublesome moments, those difficult moments, they don't last forever.
Right. I think Mary and Martha had to understand that, because maybe they were really down and out when their brother passed, Lazarus passed, but then here comes Jesus. And all of a sudden he can take those things that are causing us to be cast down and our feelings are damaged and sorrow is there, and he can all of a sudden bring out of the tomb Lazarus and joy and comfort and hope. And I think that's really key. So, of course, there's going to be situations in life where people are going to, you know, have those feelings. There's no doubt about that. To say that that's not going to happen, or to even to deny, oh, no. I've never been cast on. I've never been, you know, overwhelmed ever. Really? Well, it's not what the psalmist said. You can see many times the psalmist is just crying out to God, as you said, crying out to God with prayer, with supplication, and just asking God. I mean, even Jesus would just pray to his Father all the time, and he would be going through trials and troubles and tests and whatnot, and thank you that I'm not alone, that you're always with me. All of these might leave me. All these apostles might run away and whatnot, but the Father will never leave the Son. And so he can either live in the sorrow and the difficulty of them going away, or he can live in the fellowship and have joy with the fellowship that he has with his Father in heaven. And that is so key. So if I'm only living in that which is temporal, then I can be very much subjected to these up and downs in the emotions and whatnot, you know?
Yeah,
and,
that's
but
beautiful.
But if I'm living in the eternal, then eternal joy is different than human joy, right?
Yeah.
Eternal, that which is eternal, is so much more powerful and has such a permeating effect in the mind and in the soul of an individual. And can we think of other people? I mean, we said that David showed many different times in the Psalms, great joy and then great sorrow. We certainly mentioned Genesis chapter 6 when God was grieved that he had made man upon the face of the earth. Maybe we can see certain things that happened in Jacob's life, which he would really find himself really overwhelmed by situations in his life. And then how about the loss of Joseph? What that brought him?
How about Joseph himself?
Yeah.
Joseph. I can't imagine that Joseph just kind of, you know, glided through all of those tests and trials, all of those betrayals. You know, I would imagine he had some pretty rugged emotional
yes,
moments.
He did. And how about when he met them again in Genesis 45 and 50?
Oh, broke down.
He broke down and he wept. And then when he revealed himself to his brothers, it was tremendous joy. So you can see these feelings, and they came from God. His feeling of sorrow and being rejected and whatnot, and the trouble he was going through. And then all of a sudden, the tremendous opposite effect of this incredible joy and comfort over being with them again and realizing that you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good, and being able to go back and see his dad, you know?
Incredible. Mm-hmm. And even, as you said, Jesus himself, he went through Gethsemane.
Yes.
Talk about suffering.
Mm-hmm.
You know, great drops of blood came through his pores. I mean, that's an intense pain that doctors say. Well, it's a physiological condition that is so rare, but yet when it happens, it's so excruciating. So, but the good part about that is that Jesus went through his Gethsemane because he knew we would go through ours.
Yes.
And he is able to be there for us and to understand it and to get us through our greatest times of suffering in life.
He even said that my soul is sorrowful even unto death. I mean, it was like tremendous sorrow. And none of us could ever maybe experience it that way because he was the God-man who was rejected. And they ran away from him. They deserted him, rejected, left alone. And it seems like even through Gethsemane, like, where's my father? What's going on here? You know? And where's the person of the Holy Spirit having fellowship with the Father and the Spirit for all of eternity? And then all of a sudden, it's like you're going to pass through this valley.
Incredible.
Because it's going to be essential for salvation.
Amen. Phone lines are open. Let's hear from you. Let's begin today. Are you going up to Montreal, Canada?
Montreal?
Lise is joining us and would like to share some thoughts on Eurocon. I think, Lise,
you were
listening and tuning in, streamlining it, correct?
Oh, it was so great. Thank God for this technique, the new, you know, like the modern things, because, I mean, I felt I was with you guys. I mean, it was unbelievable. I'm not ashamed to say, Pastor Chevalier, that I was very emotional during that conference.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I received it, you know, I was crying many times, and it's like I was receiving, like, it was love, you know. I felt very touched by all, you know, first of all, at the beginning, the first night, I think they were showing, and they spent a lot of many minutes going through the audience with the camera.
Yes.
And so we could see people, and many times also they did it during the weekend. You know, it was so nice to see our brothers and sisters that we haven't seen for a while. And, it was great. It was well done. It was professional. Actually, Pastor Schaller, I remember two messages that, I mean, I thought, wow, I mean, he has such energy. I mean, he was, you know, his heart was full for us. You know, it's like he was preaching with all his heart. I was very, very blessed. I mean, Pastor Love, I listened a second time to your message on complaining and gratefulness, and, you know, like that message, Lord, that after that, you just stand very straight before God and you don't want to complain. That's great.
I know.
And there was an Ukrainian family one of the last days, you know, the pastor, his wife and the four children and the dog. And, you know, like, we pray for them so much. And I knew they were, Pastor Chris said that they were going through Portugal, I think. And so, yeah, we can pray for them, you know, for their trip there. They are on my mind. And Pastor Texier on idolatry. Pastor Matty, when he mentioned the names, I mean, I was bawling. I was crying very much. All the names that we have, you know, we have get to know, we have gotten to know all these years, you know, maybe many, many names, you know. Even if you're not a pastor, you know many people, you know, and it's very touching. They're part of our body, and it's very touching. I mean, the 12 Ukrainian women singing, that was overwhelming. And, all portions, like the pastor from Romania, you know, like you said that he was a pastor for teenagers in his church in Romania.
Yes.
And, you know, it was fun, you know, like, and even you, Pastor Love, you always bring a funny side of it, you know? And so we cry, we laugh. Otka, thank you so much. Thank you so much. And, well, I don't know. I mean, I was feeling for you, Pastor Shireli, but I thought, wow,
feeling?
You're so much.
That's part of our show.
You're so much. You so much want to be there, you know, usually,
yes.
But well, it didn't work.
It was the second time I missed in 30 years.
Wow.
Yeah, exactly. I remember
something
the
like
other
time. I mean, when I yeah, when yeah. I was in Africa, I couldn't get there, but it's like, yeah, it was, yeah, what do you,
yeah.
I think that it's like things are allowed by God. What are you going to do?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you got to
yeah,
just,
yeah,
you
exactly.
can't live in sorrow over it. You know, you can
no.
be.
No.
You can be like, oh, I wish I was there, and I would make a choice to want to be there. But there's times that things we can't do anything about them, and God allows it to happen. So
yeah.
I think that you're showing both sides today. You're showing the joy, and you're showing the sorrow aspect of it.
Yeah.
A little bit.
I
not,
mean,
not much with the
well,
sorrow aspect, but.
Being touched, very
yes.
touched, you know, yeah. deeply. Like, I would like to kiss all of them, you know, like, oh, yeah, yeah. I miss them. I miss being there. And I wanted to say, so did you know, Pastor Love, how they, when you watched on internet, how it was introduced to us with a view over the city?
No.
Did you know?
No,
you haven't seen
that.
It was so professional, because I think there were more than one or two introduction video from,
yeah.
what are these things that float and that can fly in the,
yeah,
in
the drones,
air?
The drones, yeah.
The drones, yeah. And the city looked marvelous, beautiful.
Yeah.
And also, they were asking questions as a quiz. You had to answer
yes.
questions with multiple choices.
That's right.
Fun.
We saw that. I'm sorry to say I got a few of those wrong. I'm sorry to say. But Lise,
yeah,
you're right. We heard a lot of comments upon the professional nature of the live stream
yeah.
of all of Eurocon.
Yeah.
And they did an
yeah.
outstanding job. And I love the way you summarized the whole conference, having watched it online. You did a good job, because there were just so many wonderful messages that spoke to people's hearts.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
it's good to know that not only those of us that were there, that we were deeply encouraged, but to those of
yeah.
you that weren't there, you were just as encouraged
yeah.
as well.
And you know what? We were texting to each other here, you know, from the Montreal church, you know, like, okay, did you hear that? What a wonderful message. One of the last one was on Sunday. Oh, well, no, that was... We even comment on Sunday's messages from Baltimore, but that's all right.
Yes, that's great.
I mean, we are very blessed. We are very, very blessed by, you know, being a part of your ministry, this ministry.
Amen.
This is beautiful. Thank you.
Well,
thank you very much.
We are equally blessed to have you be a part of us as well.
Hey, Pastor Lowe, have a good rest.
Thank you, Lise. I need it. You're right. God bless you. Thanks
okay.
for the call.
Bye.
All right. You can still join us. Plenty of time to
mm-hmm.
take your calls at 800-338-7060. And locally here in Baltimore, 410-483-3700. Let's get to some of these comments sent to us on Facebook Live, YouTube Live. Dominique DiPiazza writes, "Dear pastors, it's funny that this week's theme is on the Psalms, because today I have had the blues. I was feeling discouraged and alone due to my mourning," and for those of you that don't know, Dominique lost his wife to cancer some time ago, and I have found it comfort, and now, you know, having God turn toward me, be gracious to me, and he's quoting from Psalm 25, verse 16,
mm-hmm.
when God said, "Turn toward me, be gracious to me, for I am solitary and afflicted," especially the first part of that verse where he cried out, the psalmist did, and he said, "God, look at me. I found comfort knowing that God is looking at me in my distress, and he understands and sympathizes with
mm-hmm.
me." That's great, great testimony, Dominique.
Yes,
and,
yes.
So glad to know that God is, again, comforting you at this hour, and we'll continue to pray for you as well. Steve Tuggle from, I think it's Medellin, Colombia.
Yeah.
Says, greetings. Your show delivers excellent teaching. We appreciate that, Steve. Thanks for joining us on Facebook Live. Don't be a stranger. Comment or share with us
Colombia,
whenever you can. Yeah. And then right next
right
to his
that.
Comment, Lucy Hellinga says, welcome back, Pastor. I'm back for some treatment on my eyes. My husband, Pastor Brent, will be back on Wednesday, and then we will return to Colombia on April 5th. She said it was an awesome Eurocon. We're so encouraged.
Colombia.
Yeah. Isn't
New
that great?
Church plants.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Pastor Brent, Lucy Hellinga.
I want to get there. I would love to travel there someday.
Yep. I'm with you.
Yep.
Oliver Rowan.
Oh, Oliver.
Yeah. Down in Argentina. Watching the services was touching in so many ways to me. Pastor Mati's message about words, they moved me. The statement that words have the power to disturb our soul, very, very encouraging to me. Well, yeah, I remember that message very clearly, Oliver. Thank you mm-hmm. for sharing that. And every message was just anointed and filled with encouragement and power as they were delivered to us at the conference. And
Amen.
I'm wondering if we can ask our Grace Hour engineer, is it possible that people can still see these messages, find them? Great. We'll tell you how to do that, friends. If you didn't get a chance to tune in and to listen to Eurocon online, there's still a way for you to hear those messages, and we'll fill you in on that in just a moment. In the meantime, fill up the lines, 800-338-7060. Mm-hmm. Locally, it's 410-483-3700. And I think, Pastor Schiavelli, we should start to inform our Grace Hour family and friends about a time change coming up for the Grace Hour.
It is?
Yes.
I didn't know that.
Early April. Well, you got to, now that you know about it, you're going to have to, you know, work it into your schedule too. But beginning in early April, and the date, we'll let you know, April 4th, very, very specifically.
Thank God it's not April Fool's Day.
That's right. We're not going to do it then. People wouldn't believe us. We are going to change the Grace Hour to the 10 a.m. hour.
Back to the old days.
Back to the old days. We're going back to 10 a.m., friends.
Oh, wow.
And from my understanding and talking to some folks in Eurocon, it's going to be a very good time for them. Those in Finland, it'll be 5 o'clock in the evening. They said it will be wonderful. We can sit down, have dinner, and listen and watch the Grace Hour. So that's going to be happening, friends, and we want to give you a heads up. Because we want you to stay with us, and hopefully this time change is going to give more of you an opportunity to join us live.
So we're all invited for dinner in Finland.
Why not?
Grace Hour, yeah, we're
Why
invited
not?
To dinner.
Sure.
That's great. Wow.
If they'll have us.
I like the response from Oliver Rowan, and he still is encouraged, even after his favorite team was knocked out of the NCAA by some small school.
Oh, boy.
Irrelevant school. One that, not irreverent.
Irrelevant.
Irrelevant school.
Maybe they're irreverent. Yeah. We don't know.
And he's still encouraged. That's amazing. That means he's living in God's emotions.
He's spirit-filled.
Wow.
Those things
Thank
don't
you,
trouble.
Oliver. That shows me that how much you've really grown. I remember when your favorite team used to lose years ago. I mean, you walked around miserable for days.
Ooh.
No, I'm just joking.
He's grown.
He's grown.
But, you know, you got to believe that he's not going to take all of his Kentucky shirts, sweatshirts, jackets,
well,
and throw them in the fire.
Actually, no, don't throw them in the fire. He keeps giving them to me.
Oh.
I don't have one on today, but I have two or three of them. So just keep giving them to me. If you don't want them, I'll wear them. So
let's go back to the phones. Bernice Taylor is joining us. Well, it says Baltimore, but I think Bernice is calling us from Louisiana. Am I right, Bernice?
Unless she moved.
Yes, you are.
Yeah,
yes,
you got
it. You didn't move?
Somebody,
you didn't move?
Somebody said that you were calling us from Baltimore. I said, no, that can't be.
No, well, I did used to live there.
Wow, really? I didn't know that.
Yeah, I did. Uh-huh, yeah, a long time ago. But anyway, I was calling. I have a question to ask. Every time from time to time, I have something I want to ask, and I always think of Grace Hour. I was thinking, I hear ministers say, that when you accept Christ, every sin that you have committed and every one that you will commit, he's paid, you know, on the cross for it. And then I think they say that if you don't confess it, you know, if you sin after being saved, if you don't confess it, you could lose your salvation. You could lose your soul. And I don't know how I think about that. I guess
they're wrong.
I don't see it as,
they're wrong. They're wrong.
So.
They're wrong.
I do think so.
They're wrong. They're wrong. They're wrong.
Well,
I mean, it's obvious, Bernice. It's obvious that sins are paid for, past, present, and future.
That's right. That's
and that's
right.
I spoke on that in a message in mm-hmm. York, Pennsylvania, Sunday morning. Mark chapter 2, verses 1 through 8. And he said, my son. First thing Jesus said to that paralyzed man is, you're my son. Mm-hmm. Your sins are forgiven. Now rise up and walk. And the reason why many Christians do not rise up and walk is because they do not know that their sins are forgiven, all of them. And they do not understand that they're a son of God or a daughter of God. So absolutely, all sins have been paid for. Now, if I sin, I'm saved now. If I sin, certainly I am going to grieve the Holy Spirit. And certainly there's going to be things that might not go very well in my life as a result of sins committed experientially. Like, okay, a born-again believer goes out and he goes and gets drunk and cracks his car up. Well, you know what? There's forgiveness. He doesn't lose his salvation because of it, but he certainly has a damaged car and he has a damaged, soul. He's certainly going to experience the results of those things. But as far as my eternal security is concerned, born again, saved forever. And that is so important. That's John 10, 27 through 30.
Yeah.
I give unto you eternal life, and you shall never perish, and no man can pluck you out of my hand. So they get confused because they say, well, then you're saying that you can go out and sin and live like hell. No, you have a free volition to live any way that you want, but you and I will receive the results of our failures, our sins, our sins that we commit. So if a person goes out and they do this and they do that, they think, oh, it's okay, I'm born again, God's paid for the sin. No, but there's going to be consequences to sin.
I don't understand a born again. I wasn't really a churchgoer, but I don't really understand a person that's born again thinking that gives them the liberty to go out and sin. Now, I thought, I guess in my heart, I didn't believe they would lose their salvation, but I thought about they would lose their rewards.
Well, of course. I think that's absolutely true. I think we can lose rewards. We cannot experience the fruit of the Holy Spirit, the ministry of the Holy Spirit in our personal lives. And there's going to be results to those things.
You know,
the prodigal son is still a son, but he's living in a pig pen and he's experiencing the results of the pig pen. So you got it right.
Bernice, remember Pastor Stevens used to have a couple of words that help us to better understand the answer to your question. When he said that when a believer sins, it never jeopardizes his union with God. What is forfeited is his communion with God, which is to say he may lose his peace, he may lose joy,
he breaks
fellowship with God, but he's never cast away or out of the family.
But, you know, that's what I believe, and I prayed about it, and I asked the Lord to give me confirmation. I just didn't see if salvation is a gift from God. It's by nothing we can earn or work for. Why would I lose? First of all, why wouldn't you confess it to the Lord if you miss it?
Yes.
I just felt like I should. I felt so bad, even not willful, just making a mistake, because you are when you say, because you hadn't lived that way. At least I hadn't lived that way before.
Yeah.
And so I was learning.
Yeah.
You didn't do anything. You didn't do anything to earn your salvation.
That's right.
And if you didn't do anything to earn it, you cannot do anything to have it removed.
That's right, because it's what God gave me. That helps me. I didn't really worry about it, but it would come on my mind, and I would think about it. And I know the Bible says the Holy Spirit guide, lead, and teach you, and that's what come to me. Just maybe a little bit different in how you said it, but I understand how you said it.
Yes.
So I thank you for that, and appreciate it. And
just remember too,
have a great day.
Remember too, the one who lost his position in heaven was an angel. In Isaiah 14, Ezekiel 28. okay, he lost his position because of arrogance and trying to usurp authority, and he fell and took mm-hmm. one-third of the angels mm-hmm. with him mm-hmm. who responded. So the mm-hmm. so the source mm-hmm. of the doctrine that you can lose your salvation is the devil himself.
Yeah.
Hey. Well, maybe they're just making a mistake. I don't know.
Jesus meant it, Bernice, when he mm-hmm. said these words, "It is finished." That
yes,
that
is.
Those words mean paid in full. And he mm-hmm. meant it. God cannot lie. So either all of those sins, past, present, and the ones, think about it, the ones we have yet mm-hmm. to commit have already been mm-hmm. atoned for by the shed blood of Jesus. Because if
that's
they
right.
weren't, if they weren't, we'd be in a lot of trouble.
No, that's right. I don't understand. If you sin, if you truly say,
yeah.
I don't understand, you wouldn't want to confess it, repent. I just couldn't see that. I know out there, sometimes me and my daughter have a little run in, and maybe something I did, and she asked me about it, and why I didn't just tell her I did. I didn't. But I had to come clean and tell her that I wasn't telling the truth. Mm-hmm. And so I don't know, because she kind of fussed a lot whenever, and I don't like being fussed at.
Sure.
And when I did, when I did tell her, she said, well, I knew it all the time, and that was it. I could have did it in the first place.
Yeah.
Thought about how crazy can you be? I don't know. I guess that's just it.
I've done a lot of bad. I did a lot of bad things when I was a young man, Bernice,
mm-hmm.
Things
mm-hmm.
that would have brought shame and reproach on my family. Mm-hmm. But no matter mm-hmm. what I did, I have to tell you something. I never stopped being a member of my family.
That's right.
And,
that
and the
true.
Same
that
thing could true. Be said of God, no matter what we do.
That's
if we
right.
fail to show forth the praises of him who called us out mm-hmm. of darkness into his marvelous light, if we do something that brings reproach upon the name of Christ, we don't want to, but mm-hmm. if we did, it does not jeopardize our perfect position in Christ, mm-hmm. nor does it impact mm-hmm. our eternal salvation before God.
That's right. That's what I believe.
Amen.
And then even if we are saved, I know it's a scripture that came to my mind where it said he chastised us
sure.
that we can partake of his holiness.
Yes, yes. He'll discipline us. If,
so,
if the believer lives in that sin perpetually, they can expect
right.
discipline from God.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
But discipline,
yeah, like
discipline from God the Father is a world of difference between that and judgment for sin. The sin has mm-hmm. been judged, mm-hmm. but the father who loves his child will always discipline the one that he loves.
That's right. That's right. That's true. That is so true. And I sit and think about it, and I do believe the Holy Spirit will show me, because the Bible said Jesus said the Holy Spirit will guide, lead, and teach you. And that's what I got from it. And even if I was in error, it doesn't mean that I'm lost. It means that maybe I'm mm-hmm. just in error.
That's all.
That's how
we believe. Yeah, we believe the Bible that we are sealed to
right.
the day of redemption. Sealed.
It do say that.
Yes,
it does.
That's what mm-hmm. it says. Ephesians 4:30, sealed by the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 1:13.
Mm-hmm.
And sealed is an amazing word in the Greek language. It means mm-hmm. literally you've been redeemed and you've been mm-hmm. you are bought with a price. And there's mm-hmm. nobody else going to buy you back for anything at all. You know, sealed mm-hmm. by the Holy Spirit. It speaks of inheritance, too, that we have an eternal mm-hmm. inheritance. And that's so important. We
yeah.
said this morning,
yeah.
we said this morning in a devotional in Bangalore, India, that we have in Hebrews, I think it was 9:12, 9:14, and 9:15. We have eternal redemption, the eternal spirit, and an eternal inheritance. It's all eternal.
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm.
you have
yes.
a great day.
I believe that. You too.
Thank you,
Bernice. Thank you so much for sharing with me. Thank you so much.
Great to hear from you. A couple of minutes left in the broadcast. Let's go to Oretta, who's joining us from the Baltimore area.
Baltimore.
Oretta, welcome.
Yeah, good afternoon, Pastor Love and Pastor
Shibeli.
Shibeli.
She forgot my name. I'm so depressed.
Yeah, Pastor Shibeli. Yeah, that's okay. Well, come back to my favorite pastors. And the past, I enjoy the Yorkon. It was wonderful. It's a blessing. It's a blessing. I put my own text too. I do not know if they went through, but I pray for you all safety, going and coming, that the Lord will bless you and be fruitful to you all and win souls for heaven. And I'm glad you are back. You know you are my favorite, and I love you all very much. Oh, I pray for you all daily. You know that Pastor Love and Pastor Shebele. Oh, my goodness.
Amen.
What I get, so you're part of my family.
Yeah. Yes.
That's right.
Amen.
You become like my children.
I'm a Carter.
Yeah.
I'm going to change my name to Stephen Carter.
Yeah, Stephen Carter and Pastor Love Carter. I love you all. You all have a blessed day. And the Lord bless you, keep you, and oh my goodness, what a treasure it is to carry the word overseas.
Yes.
That people could, you could win souls for heaven, people could hear the word and be blessed. And that's what the world needs today. The amount of confusion and all the things going on in this life, you have to be stable, settled in Christ, and we are looking for him, God. His
Amen.
Coming is near. Let's
yes.
keep looking up.
Amen.
Love you all. Have a blessed evening.
Thank
Amen.
You, Aretta. You know, some of the folks in Finland have gotten back to us. Shabali said, yes, you are welcome to have dinner in Finland.
When do we leave?
In our house. We have to book flights.
I guess we got to pay for it. That's a pretty expensive dinner ticket ride.
Yeah, but it'll be worth it once you get there.
How
the
about
food
they
will be
sent
great.
It?
Huh?
They could send no, would, oh, by the time it got here.
I don't know about that.
No, I couldn't do that.
We'll just
actually,
wait till we get there.
I have to be very honest with you. I would have people bring me sauce. From America all the way to Africa.
Oh, my.
My mother's sauce.
Oh, my.
And it was frozen solid, and by the time the plane got there, it was still frozen.
How'd you get that through
and
customs?
And I would get... We got it through... Oh, don't worry about that.
Amazing.
And when I got it, I told nobody about it. That was my selfish desire. This is my mother's sauce. You guys can eat ragu. I don't go there, okay? I'm going... This is my mother's sauce, so amen to that. It was
wow.
a prized possession.
That's awesome. And David has written into us, says, when you confess your sins to God, he restores that fellowship that sin had broken. 1 John 1, 8 through 9. Thank you, David. You're right. And thank God for those verses. They're powerful. And we want to mention to you also, friends, that, yes, if you did miss Eurocon or you haven't caught up with it, yes, all those messages from the conference in Warsaw, Poland are archived on the Greater Grace YouTube channel. And also, mm-hmm. you can find them at ggwo.org/sermons. And once again, we want to remind you, beginning April 4th, the Grace Ooh. Hour will be broadcast Ooh-hoo. Live at 10 a.m.
So I'll be here.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah,
we're going to
we'll
give our listeners a few weeks to get acclimated and adjusted to that time change, but it won't officially take place until April 4th. But come April 4th,
Amen.
We'll be here in the studio. In the morning, 10
And what about the Easter play, Pastor Love? Do you know when those dates are?
I don't have those before me, but we'll get those very soon because leading up to the Easter celebration, our annual Easter play, beginning April 12th. There we go. We've
April
got it.
April 12th?
So,
what day is that?
Probably a Tuesday night.
Yeah.
A Tuesday night, the first of the many performances right here in our chapel.
Wow.
Friends, we're out of time. Thanks so much for joining us. We'll be back tomorrow. Join us for the Tuesday edition of the Grace Hour.